I was good with my hands and loved miniatures. I kept all the trinkets I found in a metal container for lozenges, which also served as a bed for a simulated rodent companion I called Mousy. I constructed little clay men and had them climbing all over my room.
We have a letter here from the Micro Folk Festival. Those are all those fine little people down in Florida.
It's a tiny little letter,
too. The tiny little guitars. And they have written us this letter to say they heard us talking and they changed their form.
Oh, I know that.
Those
they heard us talking and they changed their form.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to bring out some of those tiny little people, the world's smallest men and women. If you gather in a little nearer, I'm going to have them entertain you. I'm going to have them tell you where they came from, what they do in this big show. This show is operated by these little people, and I am employed to just make the announcement and tell you that they're ready to give their big performance. Do you see these little men and women out here? Most people are under the impression that all the midgets in the world come from a colony over in Europe, namely Germany. I want to assure you that such is not the case. You want to see something extra special? Don't buy a ticket yet. Wait a minute. I'm going to bring out little Margie. Margie is the smallest one, in fact, no larger than a doll. So tiny, so diminutive, so cute, she can actually stand in the palm of my hand.
After drinking 62 clam juice coolers in a row, Zippy found that he'd shrunk to the size of a child's toy. What was in those clam coolers, Ed? Zippy asks the counterman at the diner. Just clam juice and Kool-Aid. Has this ever happened to anyone else? Nope, says Ed. You're the first, and you're giving me ideas. Like making me an antidote? Nah. How's this? I get my teenage son to put you on YouTube and Instagram. Then we sign you up for a deal with Netflix. Ed, your crass commercialism thrills me. June 22nd, 2018. Stool sample.
On a card table in the living room, there was always either a jigsaw puzzle or a balsa wood model airplane or a plastic car in progress. Dad had his own collection of toy soldiers from when he was a boy, and I built on that hobby, collecting my own figures, creating imaginary worlds and conversations, as kids so often do in their earliest years.
Come here, I want to show you something. You know, and I'm like, all right. And he's like, you can't tell anybody about this, you know, in his Robin voice, which I can only do occasionally. Ooh. Yeah. So he brings me to this room, and in this room are the soldiers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like they're all equally spaced. There's no clutter to it. They're the same type, same size, which is kind of larger than a G.I. Joe in my recollection.
Okay.
But they were like sort of like these meticulously done toy soldiers that were about like, in my mind, foot and a half tall. Is that right?
Sounds, you know? That could be. I mean, I don't know what he had other than like inventories that I've seen in like some of the legal papers. I don't know like the exact quantity or, you know, the inventory that he had at that
It seemed
point,
like a very specific style plausible. And of the same manufacturer.
Okay.
You know, and they're all set up in this room, right. Almost museum-like.
That could be, yeah.
And he was like, don't tell anybody about this. I'm like, this is the big secret? You know, this is the thing you're hiding from everybody? Is this room full of toy soldiers?
Right.
Maybe I was I didn't know enough about them to make a judgment. They were just, they look like, you know, a bunch of scale models. Almost.
Right. I didn't think it was that big of a secret that, you know, he was a big aficionado of that sort of thing. That's funny.
Yeah, no, he made, kind of swore me to secrecy on that.
Right. Everything that you went through in that day and that experience, and that's the thing.
Yeah, he
that
came clean about joke stealing, about relapsing, about suicidal thoughts, about his heart. But don't tell anybody about the soldier. It's going to stay between us, man.
Right. Well, you did keep the secret.
I did, till now. But now, after I read the book, it's like, oh, clearly I'm an idiot. Like, all he talked about was fucking toy soldiers. His whole life was toy soldiers.
It is an important thread.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly. But that's...
Well, yeah, because you sort of track it, I think rightfully so, to the unleashing of his imagination as a lonely kid.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in an attic with enough money to have... full armies to riff with.
Well, literally, like the friends I could find who knew him the furthest back, I mean, the ones from like middle school, even they are like, the things they would tell me, like they marveled at the fact that like, that was an era when the kids all had like the little cheap plastic ones.
Yeah.
And what they remembered is that he was the kid that had like the good metal soldiers. Like he was well off enough that his parents could get that for him, and that made him stand out. That distinguished
him. Yeah, a couple of people remembered it.
And so in the course of time, everything that lives in the forest dies, falls to the ground, and sinks slowly through the upper zones of the soil, while various races of invisible multitudes feast upon the debris. They tear apart the structures, release locked-up elements, which then merge to form a fertile jelly that continues the descent into the dark underlying humus. The depth in inches of each layer of the forest soil and the length of time it takes to convert debris to humus varies at every locality according to the types of trees, slope of the ground.
Oh, hello. My name's Woody, and I'm a tree. We trees are alive like goats and ducks and people. We feel wind and rain. We feel joy and pain. A tree without a bird or a leaf feels very lonely.
Do you know a tree? If you pat a tree on the trunk and say hello, how you doing? The tree will smile.
How you doing? Hey, tree.
Put a frog in an anthill. Powder the skeleton obtained. Mix it with bat blood and dried flies and make it into tiny buns. Add them to the food of one you want.
One question is still unanswered. How can a tree, without a pump, force tons of water to flow upward against gravity? The pipelines in the wood are microscopically slender, so the column of water is drawn into practically weightless threads, although continuous from its roots to its leaves. The water molecules on the surface of a drop of water strongly cohere, and in extremely slender threads of water, all molecules are surface.
Near the surface of the Garland Industrial Area, meet me in the back of the El Conquistador Club.
To keep away witchcraft and disease, anoint yourself with black wool and butter. During an illness, put black wool in your ears to prevent deafness.
Double photosynthesis.
All right, now on this tour, some of the animals you won't see in the big oil swamp are the bog turtle. Over there, you won't see any western bristlebirds, no broad-nosed gentle lemurs.
Mommy?
Now, there's no brown teal here
Mommy,
anymore.
I just thought I saw
none of those
a bristle
Indian
bird.
Buffaloes.
Of course, it might take 100 million years to get forests going again, probably countless millions more to install in them creatures resembling animals and birds, but the microorganisms which fill the niches of the biosphere are, on the whole, unaffected by
Welcome
man.
To a microorganism, a national state park.
To make a man imagine he is a bear, you must dissolve or boil the brains and heart of a bear in new wine and give anyone to drink out of the skull.
Give that bear some wine.
If a century be joined in the blood of a female lapwing or a black plover and be put with oil in a lamp, all that they compass about shall believe themselves to be witches, and one shall believe another that his head is in heaven and his feet in earth.
Well, of course, then you won't see any of these Cape Mountain zebras over here. Up on that tree, see up there? You don't see no flaming red cardinal.
Hey, look, Mommy, no flaming red cardinal up there. Did you just see the no birds?
Jimmy, just stay here.
Am I crazy?
Hold on to my leg, Jimmy.
Which one?
Earthworms are the only creatures other than the deep diggers who bring the outside world with them that sometimes inhabit the humus homeland of the bacteria. Twice a year, in late spring and late fall, earthworms knock off their work in the upper zones and eat their way as much as 4 feet downward into the humus. There they sit out the hot, dry summer and the cold, dry winter. However, it would be hard to disturb anything as small as the humus bacteria. A million in a worm full of soil could ride through an earthworm gut and exit at the rear end without being disturbed in the least. Besides the earthworm, the only other animal reported to enjoy eating forest humus is the gorilla.
The gall of the cow beautifies the face when applied to it and removes corns. When cow dung is fumigated under the chair of a woman in labor, the birth is easy. Made into a plaster, the dung cures epilepsy, gout, and the diseases of the spleen.
The rule requires that there shall be sufficient interior light in retail premises to make possible the immediate identification of patrons in the premises. This is to assist in enforcement so far as minors and intoxicated persons are concerned
Where's
and to aid
bear?
The licensee
Wait,
in this respect.
Turn up the lights in here. Where's
you're
that
not
bear?
A bear? You're a man who needs a shave, who's wearing a hairy coat.
I saw an educational film yesterday over at Hollywood High School in which they showed these two little amoeba making love in cartoon.
One little amoeba making love.
No, two. It's dualistic. One, you know, black and white, yin and yang, and one and it kind of like orgasmed and came and fell off the cliff and fell into the sea and was washed away and washed over to America, and millions of years go by, and she turns into a piece of coal and then is squeezed very hard like a hamburger into oil.
And ended up in a diamond ring?
Well, no. Ended up in an Arco station, because a big pipe comes down and sucks her up, and she gets taken through, and then she gets into an Arco station, and she's put in a 1970 Plymouth, I think it was.
And then ends up in your lungs.
Yeah, well, not yet. She's hovering at the end of the film. It's a little more optimistic. She's hovering over Glendale, right, like a little thing, just looking down, waiting to be drawn by some suspecting citizen into the lungs to begin the life process again.
Wonderful. Yeah. When that person dies, then he'll become coal, right?
Right. And, well, it's cold in here already.
Yeah, it's freezing in here.
Shut the power off.
Valhalla pumping and purifying complex. Deep under the ground, billions of years ago, at the dawn of time, scads of little black, greasy things died. And through tremendous heat and pressure, they were turned into coal and petroleum. Today, that petroleum is brought to the surface by such machines as this oral-powered Larkspoken that I'm standing next to. It reaches deep into the big holes where the oil is sloshing around and sucks it up. Oil that is refined here is filtered through 17 layers of fine mesh Viking cheese cloth and then stored in huge sediment vats for 36 hours before reaching your automobile. That's why we say you can trust your car to the man who wears the horns, the friendly Vikings at Valhalla stations from Oceanside to Oxnard.
I built a 4x5 foot battlefield for them, which I kept under my bed. It had tiny shrubs and trees, a gravel road, sand for soil, and handmade brick houses full of miniature furniture crafted from cardboard.
Jimmy here has made 6 houses and 34 shops out of these miniature pieces from all over the world.
They're my favorites.
Jimmy, this china's real china, isn't it? And, this was made, I understand.
No, that's not real China, you idiot. The real China's on the other side of the world.
Oh, who's crazy now?
Those kids have a good sense of humor.
Oh,
I notice also, are those tiny false teeth in that tumbler there, did you make those?
No, those were made by a doctor who was experimenting with false teeth 130 years ago.
Oh, that's funny. Jimmy, where'd you get those?
Is that the truth?
Where did I, at Mott's Miniature.
You got them at Mott's Miniature?
I got them at Mott's Miniature.
Oh, Jimmy, that's wonderful.
My daddy and my mommy took me out to
Nazi's Berry Farm?
Nazi's Berry Farm.
Yes.
That's where they took me. Mr. Mott started the collection 59 years of the age of 8.
Oh, that's wonderful, Jimmy.
Excuse me, was he
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Trying to say that please. Mr. Mott was eight or
no.
Mr. Mott has built all of the 40 units during the past 30 years.
Oh, thank God! I thought you. There.
Did you know that their two daughters do the exteriors and interiors?
Well, Jimmy, I don't think we better.
Barbara, little Barbara, does all the artwork, and Liz does the knitting.
Oh, glad you
640 stitches per square inch. I can hardly do that at all.
Okay, Jim.
The skills to do this came in part from my classmate John Pryke, who had a fabulous HO scale model train setup that took up his entire dining room. I'd often make my way down to Military Miniatures, a nearby shop on Lexington Avenue, and with my allowance, purchased soldiers and trucks and howitzers and the like, even painting them myself so I could stage little wars at home. I went so far as to use tiny firecrackers and lighter fluid to create the effects of shells exploding. Miraculously, my parents never objected to any of this. If I had accidentally set the bed on fire, their attitude might have been different.
I'm on drugs. I mean, you know what it is. It's a deal, man. I love to get small. It's a wild, wild drug. Very dangerous for kids, though, because they get really small. I knew I shouldn't get small when I'm driving, but I was driving around the other day. And a cop pulls me over. And he goes, "Hey, are you small?" I said, "No, I'm tall. He said, "Well, I'm going to have to measure you. I got a little test they gave you. It's a balloon. And if you can get inside of it, they know you're small. And they can't put you in a regular cell either, because you walk right out." One night I got really small and got inside a vacuum cleaner. And the drug wore off. I retained the shape of a vacuum cleaner for about 2 weeks. Wild to get small.
It all started down at the station, the Danger and Pacific Railroad model train station, which looked kind of deserted, kind of glued together, like me, Danger, Nick, a small-time dick, and a corrupt little burg we call Model City. I parked my old collectible die-cast coupe with optional monster wheels and lit up a tiny model cigarette and strolled out on the attractive, impressed brick cardboard platform to wait for old 99. I could practically see the electricity surging down the third rail. I could see the train, too, coming way off in the distance, puffing that cotton smoke out its smokestack and thrusting its tinplate drivers up and down and around with a hellish, nostalgic racket. It careened crazily as it made that last turn before the station that was just a little too tight. Well, the big hand at the transformer in the sky stopped old 99 right on the button, and before I could even believe my eyes, I saw the most gorgeous dame glide out of the sleeper car. The Pullman porter gave her a frozen grin as he handed down her bags, and I caught up with her in front of the lifelike layered peel-and-stick depot door assembly, and I said, "I bet you're my new client, and you can bet I'm Nick Danger when two eyes aren't enough." She grinned at me with a frozen smile reminiscent of the Pullman porter. "Betting is immoral, pal," she said, "and a third eye won't help you this time. I'm in danger, and I heard Danger was your middle name. Well, actually, it's my last name. Close enough, little man, she purred. Phew, she was beautiful, and tall, very tall. If I hadn't known better, I could have sworn she was a model. And in my world, rule two or three is don't fall for models or actresses. Or physicists, but that's another story.
My fascination for miniature worlds and sets actually won me some prizes at school fairs. I got awards for my military dioramas as well as for a small-scale TV studio set.
You don't have to know what your kundalini is and your third eye is and your this and that to make it happen. Once you do begin to know it, then try to find the easiest way to bring it forward. Not to rule the world, but to rule yourself. You're the king of yourself, man. That's what you're king, and you're the queen of yourself, too, because you have male and female in you. You are a king. You're a star, man. You're your own star, though. You don't have to lead other people. What?
If I were bounded in a nutshell, I could call myself a king of infinite space. Paraphrase Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah?
In
Pretty far out.
Oh, Shakespeare had the inside, outside, the outside, inside. Oh, my, did he know what he was talking about.
I am the first person to make this fabulous journey. Suspended in the timelessness of inner space are the thought waves of my first impressions. They will be our only source of contact once you have passed beyond the limits of normal magnification. I am passing beyond the magnification limits of even the most powerful microscope. These are snowflakes, and yet they seem to grow larger and larger. Or can I be shrinking? Shrinking beyond the smallness of a tiny snowflake crystal. Indeed, I am becoming smaller and smaller. These tiny bits of snowflake crystal tower above me like an enormous wall of ice. Can I penetrate this gigantic prism? And yet, this wall of ice only seems smooth and solid. From this tiny viewpoint, I can see that nothing is solid, no matter how it appears. And still, I continue to shrink. What compelling force draws me into this mysterious darkness? Can this be the threshold of inner space? What are these strange spheres? Have I reached the universe of the molecule? Yes. These are water molecules. They vibrate in such an orderly pattern because this is water frozen into the solid state of matter. These fuzzy spheres must be the atoms that make up the molecule. Two hydrogen atoms bonded to a single atom. And I see it's the orbiting electrons that give the atom its fuzzy appearance. And still, I continue to shrink. Is it possible that I can enter the atom itself? Electrons are dashing about me like so many fiery comets. Can I possibly survive? I have pierced the wall of the oxygen atom. I am so infinitely small now that I can see the Milky Way of our own solar system. This vast realm. This is the infinite universe within a tiny speck of snowflake crystal. And there is the nucleus of the atom. Do I dare explore the vastness of its inner space? No, I dare not go on. I must return to the realm of the molecule before I go on shrinking forever.
And if I'd been more of a capitalist, I could have patented the first G.I. Joe.
Hey, Joe! Who won a second world war, you so smart?
Because I created an articulated man with metallic joints and a body made out of clay, hair from my own head, and clothes crafted from my dad's discarded French silk ties. I've still got it.
We'll be right back. bright electric sign. You could say she has an individual style. She's a part of a carnival time. Super steel lady, chrome covered clothes you wear, cause you have no other. But I suppose no one knows you're my plastic fantastic lover. Never shuts off, it's nothing but a used machine. Her aluminum finish, slightly diminished, is the best I ever have seen. Cosmetic baby, plugged into me, and never ever find another. And I realize no one's wise to my plastic, fantastic lover. Electrical dust is starting to rust, her trapezoid thermometer taste. All the red tape is mechanical rape of the TV program waste. Data control and IBM, science is mankind's brother. But all I see is draining me on my plastic, fantastic lover.
As luck would have it, I had the Danger and Pacific gift catalog right on me. Now, if we could afford sound effects on this show, you'd hear the rustling of pages as I looked for, yeah, here we go, $1.75 for the tiny model cigarette. You can get that puffing smoke for $4 a yard, old 99, $1,500. Pullman Porter, $10.95, grinning Pullman Porter, $11.95. And there she was. I knew I'd seen her before. She was a model, a catalog model. Attractive female passenger, 15 smackers, and she was really something to look at. Cute little hat with a veil, $3.95 extra, secret underwear, $4.95 extra, ample bosom, optional, and a nice big solid base. You could see she wouldn't tip over easy for anyone. That's the kind of babe I like, someone with character and stability and an optional ample bosom. I loaded her into the coupe and we headed up Cardboard Boulevard. Figured I'd try to make some conversation because so far this dame was stiff as a board. In fact, she sort of lay on the diagonal on the seat and stared straight up. So, I says, what do you think of our little town? Not much, she said. Small. Looks like any other town. Well, look, there's a real nice house, urethane injection molded, super detailed. We call it Grandma Trackside's Farmhouse. And say, there's the hometown church, custom built, surrounded by big old foam rubber trees. She snorted and lit up a $1.75 worth of cigarettes, smiled at me, and yawned.